we've come to celebrate the Savior. What many people at this time of the year will fail to recognize and understand is that the mission of our Lord did not begin at Bethlehem. It actually began before there was a world. The astounding thing when one comes to understand what the Scriptures say and what God has told us is that before there ever was a world, before He created anything, the Lord Jesus Christ planned and gave Himself for us. Admittedly, that which I've just said is beyond our comprehension, but nevertheless, before the foundation of the world, God knew you. God chose you. You say, but how can that be? You simply must recognize that God doesn't do things our way. He is not like we are. He is supernatural. And so when the Word of God tells us in John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, when the beginning began, men have debated that and argued that, resisting, simply accepting what God has said in His Word. When the beginning began, the Word always had been. I don't know how far back that goes, but that goes further back than the beginning of anything. The Word of God tells us that God and the Word were always equal. And then it says that God always has been the Word. And so it should not be astounding to us to read that the next verse tells us that all things were made by Him. Too many people seem to try to divide the triune God up by saying the Father is the Creator. But the Word of God tells us that the one who created everything is God the Son. That all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul wrote over in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, it says very clearly, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things that were created by Him and for Him. And He's before all things. By Him all things consist. Perhaps you struggle with your understanding, as I do, about some of this. But I don't struggle with how all of that happened here as I struggle with why. For there's not a single one of us, if we had been in His place, we wouldn't have created this world, would we? There's simply no way in the world that we'd have brought into existence and being unique creatures whom we knew would rebel against us and fight against us and curse us, curse Him. But Jesus did. So before we get to Bethlehem, we have to think about Him as Creator.
Hymn number 205, Away in a Manger, is a beautiful way to look at Bethlehem. I'm going to invite you, just remain seated if you would. Let's worship Him in our music. And join us in this simple song that you've sung most of your lives. 205, sing with us.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and feed us for heaven to live with thee there.
The amazing thing, 800 years before that which happened in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah was instructed by the Spirit of God to write some words that neither he nor anyone else could have made any sense out of. It's perhaps one of the strongest arguments in favor of the fact that God's Spirit actually dictated the very words of the Scripture. For no man, no sane man would have written those words that Isaiah wrote when he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child." A sane man wouldn't even have tolerated such a thought on his own. But the impossible consideration that a virgin could have a baby. But it was necessary because, you see, when Jesus Christ, the creator of it all, left the glory, the prerogatives of his deity, his glory behind in heaven, and humbled himself and became a man, not just any man, but a servant, the lowest position in all of humanity, then it is fitting that inside of Mary's womb would be an infant carried who would have the heavenly blood of God in him and not the earthly blood of a man. For in the infant, yet unborn in the womb of Mary, beyond our comprehension at all, was the completeness of the Godhead, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, when the infant body had barely begun to grow in the womb of Mary, she went to visit with her aunt, Elizabeth, an old woman who had become pregnant with child by the miraculous act of God. And that child in her womb was to be called John the Baptist. And she was 6 months along in her pregnancy. And when Mary went to visit with her and to counsel with her, that little six-month developmental infant in Elizabeth's womb knew who was in the womb of Mary. You say impossible. Well, you see, when the angel came to Mary, it says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David." And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in and said unto her, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the King James says, but it really is highly graced of God. The first time the word grace appears in the New Testament, it's used there to indicate what God was doing for Mary, pouring out his grace upon her. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jeshua, Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of God, Son of the Highest, the Lord God, shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said, how can this thing be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so God arranged that through a pagan ruler that a time of taxation would be issued, and Joseph would have to return to the place of his father's, Bethlehem, about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem, the place where they actually prepared the sheep, the lambs, for the sacrifice in the temple, to go there. But when they got there, everyone else were there, and there was no room for them in the inn. And almost in a prophetic, fitting experience, as there would be no room for him in the hearts of so many men, there was no room for him in the inn. And so the one who was born that day in a cattle stall is the Savior, Christ the Lord.
Hymn number 194 speaks about that holy night. And again, I ask you just to remain seated. 194, we will sing the first verse, O Holy Night.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, O night divine.
A few days after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, his mother, Mary, with her husband Joseph, took him to the temple for the purification rites of a male Jewish child. An old man had been waiting there by the name of Simeon, for God had promised him that he would not die until he had seen the Savior. And when they came in, the Holy Spirit told him who it was. And he walked over and he took baby Jesus in his hands out of Mary's arms. And he made the prophecy that this infant that she held in her arms would be like a sword piercing her heart. Nobody can understand. I cannot, and I doubt that you can either. Why God would go to such an effort to create a world that would need him to come and to die on an old, ugly, cruel cross on top of a garbage dump called Gethsemane on the edge of Jerusalem. We cannot fathom that love. And so on that day that is called Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter stood to, now filled by the Holy Spirit of God and empowered by him, to proclaim the gospel, this is a part of what he said in Acts chapter 2. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did in your midst by him, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken with wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, and loose the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be beholden of it. On that old wooden cross that day, on that garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, our supernatural God, who had known you and me before anything else was ever created, in spite of his complete and full knowledge of exactly what we would be like, on that day, somehow, God took all of your sins, all of your sins, all of my sins, all of the sins of every individual who has ever lived on the face of this earth. He took all of the deserved penalty that every one of us has so earned, and he poured it out upon God the Son hanging on the cross, so that you and I do not have to die and spend eternity paying for our own sin in a lake of fire and brimstone. He suffered that day for us. And the suffering was so great that about midday, God the Father turned his face away and turned the sun black. And for 3 hours that day, there was total blackness over all of the land, as God the Father refused to look upon God the Son. And God the Son, in the despair that only you and I deserve, cried out unto God the Father, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What you need to understand is that he was suffering in my place and in yours. You need to think about that. Only the most foolish of prideful of human beings will consider it and refuse to accept the forgiveness and the justification that was paid for by that horrible, agonizing death upon the cross in our place. And choose, by refusing to accept it, to spend an eternity in a hell of lake of fire brimstone forever suffering. Only the most foolish of men would choose that. I hope you've not chosen that. I hope if that's been in your past, that even this evening while we're sitting here, come to worship our Lord, to celebrate his entrance into humanity, that you would make the choice right where you are to accept his payment for your sins and give your life to him and trust him. You don't have to wait another day. Not another time. You can choose to do it tonight and receive the greatest gift that anybody has ever received at Christmas, the gift of eternal life.
Hymn number 198, "What child is this who laid to rest the babe, the son of Mary?" We will sing the first and last verse. Again, remain seated. Sing your worship song to the Lord. 198, please. "What child?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds ward and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary."
The four Gospels tell us about the coming of our Lord into this world as the God-man. What they do not tell us about is told in the last book of the Word of God called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Because it is there that we read about not the God-man, but Christ the King. You knew that if he created this world, he owns it, doesn't he? And you knew in your heart that if somebody owns something and gives somebody else use of it, there will be a day of accountability. And that's the way it is with you and me and the lives that we live in this world. That It belongs to Him. He created this world and He created us. Came and died on our cross to pay for our sins. You knew that He would demand someday that you and I answer for our response to that, didn't you? Over in the Gospel of John, it tells us in the third chapter after that marvelous verse telling us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It goes on to tell us, for whosoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whosoever believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It tells us in John chapter 5 that God has committed all judgment into the Son, and so there comes a day. Revelation 19 tells us about it. John saw this. He says, I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he shall smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the next chapter, chapter 20, John says, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, that one we've been talking about tonight, God the Son. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It is the crown that is far more befitting of our Lord than the cradle. And yet there are many people today who will not think of the crown, will not think of the place of judgment, will attempt to close out this Christmas season without dare going beyond the manger. But you must. You must. For before the next Christmas comes to greet us, there's some in our midst right now who will not be here anymore. Who will have finished their life on this earth. There are some who are seriously sick who may expect that to happen, but there are some who seem to be quite well and whole who haven't thought about it happening, but it will. When that last breath is breathe from those lungs, and life leaves that body that you inhabit now. If you have not given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not join him in heaven. He'll have no choice but to send you to where you have chosen to go, which is to suffer the punishment that he suffered for you on the cross. You don't have to suffer if you will accept him as your Lord and Savior. Well, what greater gift could you have this Christmas than to receive God's gift of love, the gift of eternal life? I'd like for you to bow your head for just a moment. Doug will come and sing, "Oh, Come, O You Faithful," one of our Christmas songs, which has an invitation in it. And if you would give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening and trust him as your Savior, then I want to encourage you to simply stand up and to step out to that aisle and come and meet me here at the front while he sings that invitation. With your heads bowed, would you ask God to speak to your heart? Would you speak to him?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Come quickly if you're going to come.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Our dear Father, we pray that in the holy quietness of this moment, when the thoughts of each individual here turn toward you, desiring to celebrate your great love and your great gift, desiring, O Father, this night to say thank you with words that are totally inappropriate, we pray that you might accept our worship and our adoration. And if there be some person here, as surely there is, who has not up to this point in time made that destiny-changing decision to give their heart and life to you and trust you and to receive you as the Lord and Savior, I pray that before the day comes tomorrow, that sometime in the darkness of this night, they will kneel and tell you they want to receive you and give their lives to you, and then find a way to make it open in public. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Now would you please keep your heads bowed in a time of meditation while we prepare for the observance of the Lord's Supper. Privileges we have, God's children, is to celebrate the deep meaning of how much it means to us personally that what our Lord has done in His sacrifice for us. It is called the Lord's Supper. It was instituted on that night just before Jesus Himself was nailed to the cross. It is observed with two elements. One piece of unleavened bread to symbolize the absence of sin. And then the other element, the fruit of the vine, the grape juice, to symbolize the shed blood. They are neither the blood nor the body of Christ. When you receive them, they'll still be bread and they'll still be the fruit of the vine. The significance will take place in your heart as you meditate upon our Lord's sacrifice for you. If you are not a member of this church but have given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and made Him your Savior, it will be up to you. We invite you. Participate with us. Let us bow our heads together before we come to pass the bread. Brother Chris Woody, would you come and lead us as we pray?
Our Father, we're thankful that you and your grace and mercy have allowed us to gather this evening. And oh Lord, I pray right now that you would just help each of us search our hearts. Help us to rid ourselves of those things as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, help us with your Spirit that we may focus on you, that you may be the center of our thoughts, the center of our worship, and that you may be well pleased with us this evening. We're thankful that we can come to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through him and in his name we pray. Amen.
God's word says that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Brother Alberto Lopez, would you please come and lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, eternal God, Creator, you sent your Son, born in a manger, and then went to the cross pay for our sins. And now your body is represented by this bread. As we eat, let us to remember the sacrifice you did for us, so our sins are forgiven when we believe in Jesus. Because in his name we pray. Amen.
In God's word it says that Jesus said, "This is my blood." As he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it," he said, "This is my blood. Drink you all of it. My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And then he said unto them, "But I'll not drink it again, this fruit of the vine, until the day that I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom." What a glorious promise. In a world of disorder and chaos, as we take this, we're reminded that someday we shall leave this place of pain and agony and crime and lawlessness, and we'll join our Lord and Savior in the Father's kingdom. Brother Danny, would you come and lead us as we pray?
Thank you, Father, for this time that you've given us to be together, together with other like-minded believers. And Father, as we walked into this place through the strength of support systems that you have created, you've allowed us to hear the rain that you've created with ears that you've created. And we're thankful that we serve a God that provides, has provided for us a washing away of the sins that each of us have. And we're gathered here this evening as this observance to praise you, Father, to praise your Son for what he has done, to thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us, and the joy and the peace that this time of the season is really all about. We ask for you to fill this room with your presence more than ever before, so that if someone who doesn't have that peace and that joy finds it before they leave, and we just give all these things to you, saying thank you, Father, for loving each of us exactly where we are. In your namesake we pray, our precious Jesus Christ. Amen.
Scripture says when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We can't go to the Mount of Olives, but we shall leave this place to go and enjoy the enjoyment of celebrating our Savior's entrance into this world called Christmas. May you have a Merry Christmas. You'll please follow us as we light our candles and exit, following Doug's leading of the singing of Silent Night.
Would you join me as your candle is lit?
Silent night, holy night, all is come, all is bright, round yon virgin mother. infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace, silent night, holy night, all is come, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Have a wonderful, blessed Christmas.